Hey guys, welcome back to Ponderosa Ponderers. As always, it's Rockwell Peterson.
And Isaac Wilhelmy.
And joining us in the studio today
is Mike and Wilhelmy.
Oh yeah, today we're going to be talking about AI and futuristic technology. Let's get started. Okay, so as far as AI and futuristic technology goes, I'm sure we all have our own opinions on it and
of course.
Yep.
What we think the future is going to be with its existence. So we're going to start off with some opening ideas, general feelings on the topic. Mikey, how do you feel about AI and futuristic technology? What are your general thoughts about it?
Honestly, I think it will help a lot, in my opinion. Like, I don't know, just AI in general would help us out a lot because it would do a lot of thinking that we don't necessarily have the capability to do.
Mm.
So, yeah.
Fair.
I look at it like it could destroy us. It could make us more lazy than we already are because AI would do stuff for us. But that's just the way I look at it.
Yeah.
So,
in my opinion, I would like us to understand how AI thinks before we hand over anything super important to it. Because the way that bots, AIs, algorithms are made is basically there's a teacher bot that the programmer builds, and there's like a developer bot, creator bot, / destroyer bot. And so by creating those two things with very simplistic jobs, the developer sets them working. So the developer will create the test, give it to the teacher bot, and the developer bot will just crank out different algorithms, bots, you know, AI, and then the teacher bot will test them. Mm-hmm. And all they need to do is just pass the test, but we don't understand how they do it. And that's what scares me. Is we don't know how they get to those conclusions, and we don't know the thinking in between, and we can't control it. Yeah. So until we can understand and control it, I'm a bit nervous about handing over everything to it. But I think if we control it and use it, not exactly sparingly, but cautiously, it could greatly improve our society as a whole.
Yeah. I honestly don't think it'll get to the point where it'll take over or anything like that. I don't think it's ever possible for an AI to do that.
I mean,
errors in coding, that's what I'm saying, why I'd like to have us be capable of understanding how the AI gets to its conclusions.
Okay.
You understand me there? Where it's like, if we understand every step of the way, then they'll never take over.
Yeah.
But if we don't understand how they reach those conclusions, we don't know. Say you run the AI through a test of humans good, don't hit human with car.
Yeah.
You know, just the basic line of coding, if going to hit human, don't.
Okay.
Well, we've already seen that it struggles to define a human sometimes. Like, self-driving cars are more likely to hit African Americans.
Okay.
Which is why I'm like, it's good to understand the AI, because it also takes the idea of what a human is from the developer and how to avoid hitting it.
Okay.
So I'd like for us to understand how it reaches that conclusion and what stipulations there are. Because if we don't understand that, then we could be living on a knife's edge of this is what the AI thinks is good and what should happen, and if we step outside that, it might, you know, not follow protocol.
Okay.
And no longer register us as being good.
And if we don't know how they think, what protocols they have, it's very unpredictable.
Yeah.
I think it's not dangerous in a lot of things, and I don't think it could take over in a lot of areas, but law enforcement, military, that's what makes me nervous.
Mm. If it would take over there, then chaos would start.
Well, if that's the case, we shouldn't be doing it in law enforcement or anything like that.
Yeah. No, I absolutely don't think we should, but people who don't quite understand how AI or made, yeah. and the fact that we don't understand how they think, are pushing for more AI in law enforcement because they think mm-hmm. it'll make us safer. And that's why I'm like, we already don't understand the human brain. We can't start creating artificial brains, which is basically what an AI is,
yeah.
Yeah.
until we understand our own brain. Now, AI may be able to help out with that.
Yeah.
But I think we should spend more of our energy discovering the human brain, because I think there's a lot of things that we can unlock and discover there before we step into creating other...
artificial brains.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Gotcha. Yeah, but I think there's definitely a debate to be had.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's a lot of good that it could bring, and there's a lot of danger that it could bring. Mm-hmm. I think it's a similar discussion to atomics. Not just the atomic bomb... but also, you know, nuclear power.
Mm.
You know, because there's good and bad that comes out of
yeah.
anything that we do. It's how it's used.
Exactly.
And so I think it's important to understand it and then use it correctly.
Okay.
Yeah. Pinpoint mm-hmm. what we need to do to make it
yeah.
the best we can.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, because as far as AI goes... a really interesting discussion that I've seen is Elon Musk is actually warning about some of the dangers of it, and part of it is because he's working on self-driving cars with Tesla.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's kind of on the front lines of AI development.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey guys, we should be a bit careful about this, because legitimately, cars made by white developers, like self-driving cars made by white Caucasian light-skinned developers, are more likely to hit minorities, especially of darker skin, because it takes what a human is based off its developer and the people working on it.
Okay.
So if we don't have a very diverse team of people working on each and every self-driving car, it could lead to some issues.
Yeah.
Like, it just as a general rule, really bad issues. Especially if you, like, fall asleep at the wheel and then get accused of being a racist for, like, hitting a bunch of people while you're sleeping and your self-driving car is just going yeah, ham. Like, I'm just saying, it's like, yes, it's funny, but it's a reality that we have to come to terms with.
Yeah.
Because it's possible. And that's the scary thing, is things that appear to be jokes are becoming reality at a rate faster than we can comprehend.
Yeah.
Yeah. But if you think, if it's an AI and it's learning, it should eventually get to the point where it learns every human is the same.
True.
Hopefully.
But
that's under the assumption that it's one AI doing everything.
Yeah.
What we'd actually have is multiple different AI.
Learning
at the same time in different situations.
Okay. That's right.
Because even if we have multiple AI soldiers, let's say, one gets its leg blown off by an IED, one kills 20 enemies without much issue, and one can't find anyone. All in the same situation on the same mission.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Each of them is going to learn a different thing about people, warfare, and that mission. In the same way that humans learn different things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But the AI may not exactly communicate with another AI if they're from different companies.
Mm.
Okay.
And so their learning from that mission would be very, very different. And as they progress, their viewpoints would be very, very different. And we wouldn't understand that.
Yeah.
We'd just know that the mission was completed.
Mm. Okay.
Because we don't understand how they think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's my issue. Is I don't like trusting anything to something that we don't understand.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, because it's not... I'm not trying to be paranoid, I'm trying to be cautious.
Yeah, of course.
Makes sense.
Of course.
Yeah.
We don't want any harm done to humans from AIs,
yeah.
because that's just... that wouldn't look good. I got a question for you guys. So regarding AIs, what would you... like, if we did pinpoint how to make them, and like... make them well so they don't take over, dominate, or anything like that, what would you want to see in that AI? Would you want to see, like, pet AIs, soldier AIs, planes driving themselves, cars driving themselves? Like, what would you want to see from that?
I want to see, like, VR AIs, like, you know, Sword Art.
Yeah.
Like, okay. That's personally what I want.
That'd be cool.
100%.
Yeah, I'd 100% want highly functioning, like, full body, like, fighting games.
Yeah.
Based entirely off of AI that actually respond to what you do. And then, like, I just think that would be a lot of fun. For me, at least. Like, the human being that I am would enjoy that very, very much. but, yeah, I... Most of all, I'd like to see it used for the betterment of mankind, not the replacement of it.
Yeah.
I think that's the risk we run, is we think we're really unique, but we're not. We're really not that important or unique or useful as humans.
We're just a speck of dust in the universe.
Yes. The way I see it is, like with cybernetics and robotics, we could use cybernetics to enhance humanity or to replace it. I'd like to see AI used to enhance humanity.
Yeah.
Rather than replace it. Mm. So instead of having the AI think for us, what we could do is use it to help us think better.
Okay.
Help us learn.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So if we fully understood AI and there was absolutely no risks, which I think that is a long way off.
Oh, yeah.
But if we fully did, then I would absolutely say put it on basically a VPN so that, you know, nothing can hack it or control it. Put a bunch of firewalls up.
Mm-hmm.
And then have it interface with your brain. Not replace your brain, but interface with it. So it could come up with the best way for you to learn. You know, it could fully understand your brain and what's best for you. It could give you cautionary tales. It could help you learn better. It could help you understand things. So, like, if you have a question, it would answer it for you.
Okay.
You know, in the same way that it'd connect you with, like, a web browser, phone call other people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, replace a lot of the things that we have and use already and just make it easier to access.
And if that happens, that would pretty much tear down any language barriers.
Exactly.
Translate and, like, give you the translation immediately.
Exactly.
Yeah, that'd be amazing.
And that's what I'm talking about. It would enhance humanity instead of replace it.
Yeah.
And I think that's the important thing that we need to be looking at. Because that's why I'm like, we need to fully understand our brains. Because if we fully understand our brains, we can replicate them in AI, and then we'll fully understand how they think and work, and be able to better control them through the same methods we use to control humans.
Well, no, that gets into the whole thing. Like, if we somehow replicate our mind.
Yeah.
People say, like, the soul is your mind, other things, like, people,
mm-hmm.
It's just crazy. And if we get to the point where we have AI to the point where we are, does that mean the AI has consciousness and it is its own being? And if that's the case, should we be controlling it?
Yes.
Okay.
In the same way that an animal that we use but care about has sentience. In the same way you ride a horse because it's useful, but you still care about it, you feed it, you take care of it.
Okay, but that... the animals don't have our, like, processing ability and, like...
Yeah. I'm not saying we completely replicate a human mind.
Okay.
I'm saying that we make it in such a way to where we understand how it thinks and works. We can control it with similar things that we use to control humans on a very basic level. And then it could be used to interface with our brains completely harmlessly.
Okay.
And that's what I'm talking about.
So, like, when you're talking about, like, controlling humans on a basic level,
yeah,
you're talking about, like, laws and stuff? Like, teach it laws, or...?
Not laws, but our understanding of right and wrong in the same way you'd teach a child.
Like, morality.
Yeah, you'd teach morality.
Gotcha.
And think of a super intelligent child.
Because
it wouldn't have the emotional development that a human would. But it would still have a far greater capability for intelligence and wisdom.
Okay.
And so that's how we'd use it to enhance humanity. That's how it interface with our brains. Is it basically become like the left hemisphere of our brain. In the same way that we would be the emotional, moral side of it. We'd still retain our logical thinking on the left side of our brain. You know, the one that allows us to follow laws. But it would just heighten that. Think of it like a brain enhancement, an improvement.
Okay.
And that's what I'd like to see overall from the future of AI.
Okay.
That's just like perfect.
Yeah.
Like, perfect AI, because enhancing the brain, a lot can go wrong. Like, that is very dangerous.
Oh, absolutely.
So,
like I said, this is, like, a utopian ideal situation.
Yeah.
Like, years, maybe decades, centuries down the line.
Yeah.
But because the sum total of human knowledge doubles, what, every 3 days? At this
something
point?
Something like that.
Yeah. Like, the degree that I'm in right now will be obsolete. Like, all the information we learn in school will be obsolete within 3 years.
Yeah.
Like, the pace that we're going at right now is insane.
Mm-hmm.
Introducing rudimentary AI that can think, is capable of thought, you know, that will skyrocket us even faster.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm like, this, we may be able to reach that perfect, ideal AI through utilizing AI cautiously and carefully and knowing what we're working towards. Because right now, we're not thinking, should we do this? We're thinking, can we?
Yeah.
And that's unchecked scientism, and that makes me nervous.
Okay.
We are going to go to a quick ad break, but we will continue this conversation when we get back. Please stick around. Thank you for listening. I'm back again. Okay, now that we're back, where were we?
Well, I think we finished up, like, AI, what we thought. Is there
anything? Yeah, unless there's anything you guys want to add upon the subject.
Regarding future technology, what do you want to see?
I mean, honestly, cybernetics would be cool, in my opinion. Just because. I want some bionic legs. Run fast.
Yeah. See, that's the thing that makes me nervous about cybernetics right there, is the fact that it's like, how many sane, rational people would be like, man, I'd love to have a robotic arm. That butcher's knife looks useful right now. Like, you know what I mean? Like, what do you do when certain humans become enhanced due to accidents and loss of limbs? Like, do we all become cyborgs, or do we have a subclass of humans that is just humanity? Like, it's just normal humans who, like, what do we do about competitive sports?
Yeah.
You know, one dude's got, like, a super strong metallic arm in boxing and just crushes your jaw like it's paper.
Or you, like, can throw a football all the way across the field and just easy win.
Don't get me wrong. Cybernetics are awesome, but the issue is they're awesome and they're would completely change everything about our society. Like, we just, no matter what it is, I just advocate thinking through what we do beyond the level of,
it's
can awesome. We do this? Like, even beyond, it's awesome, on the most basic level, can we do this?
Yeah,
true. Because, like, true. Yes, cybernetics would be awesome. But we'd get people that are, like, a brain, a heart, and maybe normal eyes, and everything else is, like, this weird box that just kind of, like, rolls around, and that's just what they want.
Yeah. But I honestly don't think it'll get to that point, because if we have cybernetics, I have a feeling the government's going to, like, restrict that heavily.
Oh, yeah.
And they want to control who has cybernetics.
I mean, they probably won't let the citizens have it. They probably just let the army have it, the military.
Yeah.
I'd love to see mentally and emotionally troubled vets who get absolutely no care at this point in our society coming back being homeless while having cybernetic enhancements that let them run 60 miles an hour and punch through brick walls.
Oh, yeah.
I wonder how well that'll go.
I'm not talking about, like, vets. I'm talking about if we were to have it, they were to kind of
in the
military, make the military do it so they like perform better,
and then take them out when they're no longer in the military, like
restrict their use somehow.
Yeah, somehow program it to not do so well.
So
I don't know.
So then we just let the government be like, yeah, we're gonna turn on your cybernetic enhancements. Oh, you disobeyed. They're off. You can't walk now.
I have a feeling they can, like, limit how strong it is because programming and whatnot.
But that's my issue, is that the government then has control over it.
Exactly. I feel like if we did have cybernetics, that's what the government would do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just don't trust the government to be benevolent with the ability to control what you do.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry, but that's all they try to do is control you, because that's how they stay in power.
Mm.
So the last thing I want is a military full of people that have to listen to the government, because otherwise, yeah, no, you're going to get turned off and probably die, because we have the ability to just stop your heart.
Yeah.
Like, congratulations, go kill innocent children. Like, yeah. It's just, it enters the realm of moral issues that I don't think we're considering.
Yeah.
Because, yes, it's awesome, but who gets it?
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And
is it even worth it?
Yeah. Like I said, should we? Not can we?
Yeah. It'd be a cool idea. It's just, like, not realistic to the point of, like, everyone using it.
On a much less dark level, like, look at flying cars. Yes, we could probably do it. But do you really want drunk flying drivers
running into your houses?
Yes. Running into, going through your house, going through skyscrapers, because they're just driving. Like, there are people who fall asleep at the wheel right now because they're working so hard.
Yeah.
Now you're in a flying car going at 600 miles an hour.
I don't think it could get that fast.
You know what I'm saying, though.
Planes could get that fast.
But you're not going to put a freaking plane engine in
car. No, but you need to go fast enough to get off the ground. That's the issue.
Just hovercraft. It's like, magnetics or something.
Yeah, I don't know.
But if you're not legitimately flying, then you've just replaced wheels and you'd be like, what? At max 10 feet off the ground, but then you're still using the roadways. Like, you don't go any faster. You don't get where you're going any faster. It just makes it more dangerous if you hit someone, because then you're dropping. Like,
and it makes it look more cool.
Yeah. Not only did you roll your car, you're being, let's say you put magnets in the bottom of it, you're being magnetically pulled into the ground at high velocity. Have fun, buddy! Like, that's just my thing, where we need to consider these things.
Yeah.
Because it's like, yes, that would be awesome. I'm not denying that flying cars would be amazing. But who gets them? How many people get them? How can you use them? Like, we're noticing that issue with drones right now. Because there are no fly spaces. There are so many stipulations on drones that it's almost not worth it anymore.
Yeah.
And now the government can attach a machine gun to it and kill you. Like,
do what they will.
It's things we need to consider, and it's a matter of your worldview and how much you trust the government.
Yeah.
And how much you believe the advancement of science is worth the risks. You know, how much risk you're willing to take to advance science.
Yeah.
Should we?
Yeah.
That's a good statement question.
Yeah, should we? Not can we?
Yeah.
Because I think exploring every cool idea is great. But I feel as if we've become fixated on a couple of things, and they've become absolutes. And like I've said before, having a question in your mind is much easier to find multiple answers to rather than an absolute.
Okay.
I feel like we have the absolute in our mind that it's like, in the future, flying cars, AI, cybernetics.
Mm-hmm.
We're not exploring any other options that there could be, because that's what we're fixated on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think we're fixated on that because of movies and shows and what we see on television.
Exactly.
Yeah, so,
you know what I'd like to see that a lot of people haven't considered? Subdermal armor. There is a substance called graphene, and it is one of the thinnest, strongest substances out there. It's an isomer of graphite. You know, it's a carbon chain that arranges itself very thinly, and you stack it up like two or three atoms, I want to say. Like, very, very small amount of it is as strong as steel. Which is why I'm like, if we have the ability to avoid having our body reject it, you could easily and comfortably put it right under the oil glands and hair follicles in your skin.
How heavy is it,
then? And become bulletproof. It is super lightweight.
See,
it is, like, very, very lightweight, and they're planning on using it for spaceships.
Okay.
For, like, armor on the outside of it.
Yeah.
To insulate it as it's going through the atmosphere.
Okay.
They're planning on putting it on, you know, like tanks, body armor. Like it's a legitimate thing that they're exploring the possibilities of. They want to fully understand it, you know, and part of it is it just didn't get a whole lot of attention, so a lot of companies don't know of it, of its existence. But I highly recommend you guys at home to just look up graphene, graphene. It's really, really interesting.
Back to the whole, like, it being, like, bulletproof. What if you just made a graphene bullet? Like,
would that penetrate the graphene?
I feel like it would. It's a very sci-fi way to think about it.
I understand that, but...
It could be. But it's... I feel as if we're kind of straying into a more advanced version of Paper Beats Rock. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where it's like...
Okay, hold up. Is it fireproof?
I have no idea. I'm assuming so. Could in a high melt? Enough amount, just... Like, it's basically like a... It's like carbon. It's like... It's like carbon fiber, only smaller and stronger. Think of it that way.
Okay.
So it's like, flame yes.
From Modern Warfare.
You could make a bullet out of graphene and then shoot it at a subdermal graphene implant.
Mm.
But, like, think of it this way. You build a block of lead, and then you shoot a lead bullet at it.
Uh-huh.
Doesn't mean that because it's lead, it will just, like, pass right through it and damage it more.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. Where it's like, a bullet's a bullet.
Yeah.
A graphene bullet might be stronger and might... act like do more damage, but the subdermal armor would just help, I think, mainly for civilians, you know, to avoid us getting murked by stabbings.
Well, if that happens, would we end up just using that with everything, like cars, houses,
depending upon
everything?
Its supply,
if we
I
have
mean
enough resources,
I'd like to invest more. I'd like to see humanity invest more in atomic manipulation outside of atom bombs and nuclear energy, like creating graphene.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel it's doable. I feel we have the technology to make it possible. Because I created this atomic structure in a atom simulator. And I found that if you connected all carbon to all carbon with no hydrogen, it is so unstable and unnatural that the force exploding is just insane how much energy it creates from those bonds breaking.
Okay.
So if we found a way to manipulate those bonds to exist for a millisecond, the explosion from that would be enough to probably power a city if you got a block of it. If you got a carbon block, removed the hydrogen from it and forced all the bonds to go to another atom.
Mm.
The same way.
How would you contain that and harness the energy though?
In the same way, you know, I was thinking of a similar way that we do it with nuclear energy. I know that it's different, but you know, we have combustion reactions already, and so what I was thinking is we don't need the entire block necessarily to explode and melt, or it can, you know, we'll have to mess around a bit with how explosive it is.
Mm-hmm.
These are all completely theoretical concepts, of course.
Yeah.
But then we could use it as basically a highly combustible engine.
Okay.
You know what I mean? In the same way that there are mini explosions going on all the time in your car.
Yeah.
And you don't even notice it. You know, and so it's like if we reach that level of atomic manipulation, we would be able to create metals strong enough to just absorb that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we make a metal that will basically reflexively bend like it would on a tramp with the kinetic force of the explosion and then shoot it back.
Okay.
And be able to just withstand that happening multiple times until all the energy died out, we would be able to catch and use a lot of that energy.
Hmm. Okay.
From a very small amount of carbon. And so that may not be a bad way to do it. I've also, you know, had some theories about perpetual motion by causing it to continue going through filling it with noble gases that would not take the basically discharge of electrons that causes it to break down and change.
Okay.
And so you could do that with a combustion reaction, not only to take the brunt of some of the explosion, but also to catch as much energy as possible. Because if you use low-level noble gases, they won't be able to break the octet rule and take on more electrons. And so they'll basically just reflect the electrons back for the most part. Yes, the metal surrounding it will take some. I'm not saying it'd completely zero out the electrons, but it would send some of them back and probably be reabsorbed into the reaction.
Okay.
Which I think is a theory that I'd like to see explored a bit more.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
No. Mikey, so is there any other futuristic technology that you'd like to see besides, like, cybernetics?
I mean, I just want to see, like, more futuristic, like, spacecrafts, like, more exploration into the stars.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
That would be
100%.
Because there's definitely another planet that can inhabit us.
Yeah, there's just no way we're the only life in the universe. There's no way.
I mean, just looking at it statistically, if the universe grows every day, we are not the only life in the galaxy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's possible that we may be the most advanced life in the galaxy. It may be possible that we are the least advanced life in the galaxy. It may be possible that we're mid-tier.
Yeah.
It may be possible that the government has aliens and alien spaceships.
That's, like, there's statistically, there's such a high probability of another planet like this existing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's just insane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What I would like to see for future technology, I don't know, either like an implant or like contacts that, like, if you need information, you can look it up and, like, it would have every information. Not just for the reason to have that information and be lazy to, like, cheat on tests and stuff. Mm-hmm. I would like to have it just to get more knowledge.
Yeah.
About anything I wanted. I know phones kind of do that, but it's very touchy and, like, they don't have a lot of stuff, but you can look up a lot of stuff.
Are you, like, how would you interact with that? Are you talking, like, thought-based interaction to the contact or implant?
Yeah, kind of. Thought-based or, like, whispering or talking. Okay. And it'd be, like, contact, so you could have, like, night vision or something if you really want to go that far and go crazy and just, like, look at your arm and tell your heart rate and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Just stuff that would help you out.
And that gets into AR, altered reality.
Yeah.
But that would be pretty cool.
Mm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think that strays into the AI, the perfect AI that I was talking about that would enhance humanity, because that's basically what it would be.
Yeah.
But that could be a very good stepping stone on the way to that and help us understand the human brain more. Mm-hmm. I think I've already gone over a majority of what I'd like to see.
Mm-hmm.
If we had atomic manipulation, we'd be able to terraform entire planets, and then any planet would be livable for us.
Okay.
That is true. Yeah.
Which is why I'm like, I want us to understand the human brain, I want us to understand how AI operates, and I want us to understand how atomic manipulation could be possible.
Yeah.
If we can understand those three things, I think there is absolutely nothing in this world, in this universe, in this galaxy, I don't think there's anything that could stop the spread of humanity. And I don't think that anything could be made unsustainable for humanity.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because we could clone whatever. We'd basically become gods. We could change anything. We could know anything. We could manipulate anything. And
but would we want that?
But would we want that?
Exactly.
Exactly.
I feel like that would get very dangerous very quickly.
Exactly. And that's, I don't trust humans.
Yeah.
I don't like humans sometimes. I really don't. Like, I like people, but humans sometimes I'm like, oh, Jesus.
Buddy, what are you doing?
Exactly. And so I'm like, we run into the CRISPR debate with all of this, in my opinion. Should we? Can we? And what will happen?
Yeah.
Because we don't have, as humans, we don't have a set thing that we view morality through.
Yeah.
And CRISPR gene modification, it's like, well, what do you consider genetic imperfections? What do you consider genetic diseases? Because it's like, put it this way. Look at the world that we'd be in right now through the lens of if Hitler had CRISPR. I don't like referencing Nazi Germany, but with all of this, you just gotta think, if someone that is similarly radical in their ideals on a much smaller scale starts creating children to be what they think the perfect human being is, how different would our world be? What is the perfect human being? Like, there's so much that we need to understand and establish and figure out. Don't get me wrong, avoiding genetic diseases is good, but we need to define what a genetic disease is. We need laws in place. Like, we're moving faster than we can cover our bases.
Yeah.
And that's my big issue with all of it.
Well, I think that's a good stopping point. Mikey, is there any final comments or shout-outs or anything you want to do?
Nope.
You good?
Yep.
All right.
Well, we'd like to thank you for joining us in the studio.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man.
Big pleasure.
Of course, my man. It's been a pleasure having you.
It was great.
I'm glad, man. I'm glad we could get you in. And as always, thank you guys for listening. We really appreciate you guys tuning in.
Oh, yeah.
Once again, like, the response has been amazing. We're on 7 platforms now, you know, approved by Apple Podcasts. It is just going much better than we could have ever imagined. Like, thank you guys.
Yeah.
Please know that we'd love to talk to you. We'd love to answer your questions. We'd love to have you on the show.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to be on it, if you want to talk to us, if you want to ask us questions, we're very active. Follow us and message us at Ponderosa_Ponderers on Instagram. You can also email us at PonderosaPonderers@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
I just thank you guys, really. Yeah,
it's been amazing.
Yeah.
We really appreciate it.
And above all else, keep pondering.